Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude who kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mezar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Amen. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I would like to bring as our message this morning two words from verse number 11. My countenance. And then I would like to speak on two words from verse number 5. His countenance. My countenance and his countenance. And we'll begin with verse number 11. And David prays, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance. I wonder if you've ever thought, what is your countenance? Your countenance. If you look up the Hebrew or the Greek lexicons or dictionaries in regards to the word countenance, the word countenance, according to Strong's, is literally or figuratively your face. Your countenance is your face. But it's more than just your face, because it's your appearance. Your appearance. It's the expression of your face. It's your demeanor. It's the favor or the expression of your attitude. In fact, the word countenance means your very presence. So your face, your appearance, your expression that's on your face, your demeanor, your favor, that is the expression of your attitude as you engage with people. It's your very presence. And David says, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health. H-E-A-T-H. He's the health of my countenance. He's the health of my countenance. When I was in work, in secular employment, they used to tell us how you would describe someone. If someone came in and held you up and you got robbed or whatever, they would say, give us a description of the person who came in with the gun. And they would give us A to G. What age was the person? What was their build like? What was the color of their skin? Had they any distinguishing marks? That was A, B, C, and D. So you would go age, build, color, distinguishing marks. And then you would look at their eyes. What color were their eyes? And was there anything special about their eyes? And then their face, that was F. So you had E and F. And then you had G. That was their gait. And if you don't know what gait is, it just means the way they walk or the way they held themselves. And then, of course, there was H, that was height. So you described the person and you went A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Their countenance. All of us have got a face. And I think one of the miracles of God's creation is this, that enclosed within the circumference of such a small space, God has made millions and millions of faces. You never see two people alike. There are identical twins here and there, but we have all got a different face. Isn't that a miracle of creation? A God of variety. A God who can take a small circumference, and within that circumference he can put a brow, he can put two eyes, a nose, a mouth, and two ears, and he can make us all different. How wonderful. That's our God. And you sit here this morning and you've got a face, blonde hair, a small nose, brown eyes, big ears, black teeth. I don't know how we look, but we've all got a face. And we're all different. And yet, whenever we speak about our countenance, it's more than just our face. It's more than your face. It's your very demeanor. It's your countenance. It's your expression, the attitude that comes across when people shake your hand. It's your countenance. And David says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? For God is the strength of my life, and he is the health of my countenance." How's your countenance this morning? The Bible doesn't often speak or tell us about a person's physical appearance. We read in 1 Samuel 17 about David, and it says about Goliath, when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him because he was a youth and ruddy. He was red and of a fair and beautiful countenance. That was David. But it's not your face I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about your countenance. Your countenance. You see, your countenance changes from day to day. You remember whenever Jacob was with Laban and they fell out and Jacob tricked Laban and Laban tricked David or Jacob, and everything just seemed to go wrong between them. And in Genesis 31, it says this, that Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not towards him as before. Jacob beheld Laban, and his countenance was not towards him as it had been in the past. Now, Laban had not got his hair cut, nor had he shaved his beard off. But his countenance towards Jacob had changed. Jacob hadn't physically altered his height or anything else, but his countenance towards Jacob was different. There are people here this morning and you've got a bright, cheery, bubbly countenance. There's other people, and whenever you meet them, they've got a dour, sour, expressionless sort of countenance. That's just the way they are. One man that I know, and you could speak to him and you would say, "How's things?" He says, "All right." And then you probe a little bit further. He's just got a 5% pay raise and he's got his bonus, but things are just all right. "How's the family?" "Well, they've just finished their exam, 5A stars and going to Oxford or Cambridge, and things are all right." "Have you any holidays organized this year?" "Well, I think the wife a few weeks ago booked us 3 weeks in safari." And you feel like asking, has nobody told your face? Like, What's your countenance saying about that sort of news? What is it that comes across just because of all of that? And brothers and sisters, this morning, the Lord Jesus spoke about our countenance. He says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites of a sad countenance. A sad countenance. You remember whenever the ladies came to the tomb on that Lord's Day morning, they saw the angel, and it says his countenance was like lightning. His countenance was like lightning. And you remember the Lord Jesus, when he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he prayed, and the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. His countenance changed. The health of our countenance. What's the health of your countenance this morning? My life touched yours for a little while. And what did you see? A worried, a hurried, an anxious look, or the beauty of Jesus in me? Brothers, sisters, this is for us all. My life touched yours for a little while. And what did you see? A worried, a hurried, an anxious look, or the beauty of Jesus in me? I am my neighbor's Bible. He reads me when we meet. Today he reads me in the home, tomorrow in the street. He may be relative or friend or slight acquaintance he. He may not even know my name, but he is reading me. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. A person's countenance. As you read through the Old Testament, there are three stories that speak of a person's countenance. In Nehemiah chapter 2, the king said unto Nehemiah, why is your countenance sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then Nehemiah says, I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lies waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Brothers and sisters, the thing that caused Nehemiah's countenance to be sad was national issues and problems at large. National issues and problems at large. I wonder, does national issues and problems at large cause us to change the expression of our faces? It did for Nehemiah. But whenever we read in 1 Samuel, we read about Hannah. And this is what it says about Hannah. Hannah was the wife of Elkanah. And Elkanah, to his shame, had married two women. And Hannah was in turmoil because of the taunts of Elkanah's other wife. And she comes into the temple one day, and she comes in to pray, and she pours out her heart before the Lord. And Eli, who's a priest in the temple, sees her praying and pouring her heart out before the Lord. And he looks at her and he sees her demeanor and he thinks that she's drunk. He thinks that she's drunk. And Hannah cries out, I'm not drunk. No, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. And then Eli said to her, go in peace. And the God of Israel give you your petition that you have asked of him. And she said, let your handmaid find grace in your sight. So the woman went her way and did eat. And her countenance was no more sad. What was her problems? Personal issues. Problems at home. What made Nehemiah sad? National issues. Problems at large. What made Hannah sad? Personal issues, problems at home. And there could be someone here this morning and you're sad and your countenance has fallen because of problems at home, personal issues. And then, of course, you remember about Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had been taken prison into Babylon and they had refused to eat the king's food. That food had been offered to idols, and they said, as Christians, as God's people, we can't do that. And this is what it says in Daniel chapter 1. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants, I beseech you, 10 days. Let them give us bread to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenances of the children who eat the portion of the king's meat, as you seal, deal with your servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and he tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children who did eat the portion of the king's meat. Spiritual issues, problems at work. I'm sure you're familiar with the names of Peter and Hazel Mary Bull. As God's people, they had problems at work because of the laws of our land. Their countenances fell. But that godly couple from Cornwall who lost their bed and breakfast business because of bad laws in our land. Brothers and sisters, sometimes problems at work can cause your countenance to fall. Sometimes problems at home can cause your countenance to fall. Sometimes problems in the nation can cause your countenance to fall. And here's our verse for this morning. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Now let's look at that word disquieted. What does it mean? It means to be restless. It means to be anxious. It means to be troubled. It means to be distressed. Why are you distressed this morning? Why are you troubled this morning? Why are you anxious this morning? Why art thou disquieted in me, O my soul? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. Is God not able for your problem this morning? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who can put a smile on my face again. God is able for whatever our problem may be. You see, for the child of God, the Bible never promises the child of God consistently blue sky days. We're never promised that. The Bible never teaches health and wealth for all of God's children. There are times when our souls are cast down. There are times when we become disquieted, and maybe times when our countenances fall. But what's the answer to my countenance? The answer to my countenance is his countenance. Look at verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. His countenance. Brothers and sisters, as you read through the Psalms, you'll find this, that David found in every difficulty and in every trial of life, if he could see the face of God, the problems weren't so big. If he could be in the presence of God, it seemed the mountains weren't so high. If he could see the favor of the countenance of God in his life, he knew that all would be well. And brothers and sisters, that's what we all need to learn in these days. If we can live in his presence, if we can enjoy the favor that comes from him, if we can see his face, well, then our countenances will not be sad, because we will have the countenance of God shining upon us. And whatever our difficulties, whatever our worries, whatever our anxieties, whatever it is we feel is too big, we'll know the smile in the presence of God. What a truth. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. His countenance. Bring God into your problems. Bring God into your 9-to-5 problems. Bring God into your home. Bring God into whatever it is, and the light of his countenance will cheer you. In Psalm number 4, David says this: Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. There be many who say, Who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time when their corn and wine increased. I will both lay me down and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. David knew that the joy of his countenance depended on the fact that he could behold the countenance and the presence of God. In Psalm 21 he says, The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance, with thy countenance. Brothers and sisters, this morning we need to keep close to the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, to John's Gospel in chapter 6. John's Gospel in chapter 6. And we have a familiar story here. And while you're turning, I will begin where we want to read. It says in verse number 15, Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king. He departed again into a mountain himself alone. John 6:16. And when the evening was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship or a boat and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And when the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew, so when they rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. They had rowed 25 or 30 furlongs. A furlong is about 1/8 of a mile. 1/8 of a mile, 25 or 30 furlongs, that's about 3.5 or 4 miles they've rowed. The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long, and it's somewhere in the region of 8 miles wide. It's the darkness of the night. They have rowed out from the shore 3.5 to 4 miles. It's in the fourth watch of the night. The storm has begun to come down upon the Sea of Galilee. They're struggling. This particular incident in the life of the Lord is recorded in Matthew 14. It's recorded in Mark chapter 6. It's recorded in John chapter 6. If you put the whole three stories together, you discover that the winds were contrary. The waves were high. They were toiling and rowing. They were struggling. It was the fourth watch of the night, the darkest hour. They're 4 miles out to sea. They're isolated and they are alone. And the worst of it all, Jesus had not come to them. Is that how you feel this morning? And your countenance has fallen? What would you need to lift your burden? What would you need to cheer your countenance? You would need the presence of God. Your circumstances may not change. But oh, if you could know the Lord's with me in this. Oh, if you could know the Lord's here in the midst of my storm. The Lord knows all about it. That would lift my countenance. That would put a joy in my spirit. That could take me where I need to be. That would enable me to get through what the problems are. And these people and these disciples, as they toil and rowing, and as they're in the fourth watch of the night, and as they're 4.5 miles out and isolated, and they feel they have nobody to talk to and nobody can help them, and it's now dark and Jesus hasn't come to them, and the sea arises by reason of a great wind that blew. What do you do in times like that? You read through the Bible, there's many who have made wrong choices in tight corners. But the wonderful truth that we read about here is that Jesus came to them walking on the water. Jesus came to them walking on the water. When they were toiling to no avail, Jesus came to them. He always comes. He never leaves his children to sink. Mary and Martha thought he had come too late, but he came to them 4 days. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus didn't come too late. He came. He came. But they had to trust him that he knew best when the storm was to be calmed. He comes. Oh, the health, the light of his countenance. The light of his countenance. The worst thing we can do when Jesus hasn't come as we think is to do something rash. Do you remember when Abraham looked around and there was a famine in the land? He went down to Egypt. He should never have gone down to Egypt. Do you remember whenever Saul was waiting for Samuel to come to offer the sacrifice and Samuel hadn't come? He made a mistake. He did something wrong. He offered the sacrifice himself. Do you remember about Elimelech and his wife Naomi? What happened there? Well, Elimelech took his children and his family down to Moab because he thought circumstances and Jesus hadn't come, he would take matters into his own hand. Brothers and sisters, what we need any more than everything else in our struggles and trials and difficulties of life is the presence of God. We need to know he's with us. Because when Jesus is with us, we can get through the storm. Jesus had not come to them. That's what it says in verse number 19. Or rather, Jesus had not come to them. Yeah, verse number 17. It was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. But you know what? He did come, and when he came to them, he talked with them, he walked on the water, and he went into the boat along with them. It says in verse 21, then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately this boat was at the land whither they went. When they welcomed Jesus in, the storm was stilled. And brothers and sisters, this morning, let me say this to you. God doesn't always still every storm, but he's able to still the storm inside. He's able to give us grace to trust him. He's able to give us the health of our countenance. He's able to help us not to worry. He tells us, casting all your care on him, because he cares for you. And what was it that comforted these disciples? They were comforted by his voice. It is I. Be not afraid. And they were comforted by his presence. That's all a child of God needs. The world doesn't understand that. They say, take a pill. The world says, go on holiday. And those things may be good, but what I want most of all is this. I want to hear his voice. I want to feel his presence. Because then, I can get through the storms that come my way. When he walks upon the waters of my troubles, storms are stilled. When he walks upon the waters of my fears are stilled. When he walks upon the waters of my questions are answered. When he walks upon the waters of my worries are stilled. When he walks upon the waters of my problems are stilled. The Lord never leaves his children to sink. In the greatest of storms of life, he will come to us. He will come to us. And he is the health of my countenance. Do you remember how he came to Joseph in Egypt? Do you remember how he came to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the burning fiery furnace? Do you remember how he came to Daniel in the den of lions? Do you remember how he came to Esther when she was in before King Ahasuerus? The wind ceased, they worshipped him. And what does it say in Matthew 14 in regards to this same passage? When the wind ceased and they worshipped him, they said, "Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the Son of God." Brothers and sisters, the world may be tumbling down all around you, but you don't need to be tumbling down inside, because the Lord is with you. The Lord's presence will sustain you, the light of his countenance upon you, and through the love of God our Savior, all will be well. What do we say sometimes? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. May God bless his word to every